Hello and a warm welcome to this latest edition of the Project Edward podcast, which we call My Role in the Safe System. And my guest this time is George Chester Master. I'm very pleased to introduce George as the creator and presenter behind George's Car Media, a fast-growing UK social channel focused on cars and road safety. Based in the UK car scene, he produces engaging short-form content that explains safe, legal vehicle modifications, everyday driving etiquette, and key road safety risks in a way that resonates with young and enthusiast drivers. He works closely with partners including Devon and Cornwall Police and Vision Zero Southwest, and his videos have attracted more than 1 million followers and more than 1 billion views, using social media to help reduce deaths and serious injuries on the road. George, welcome along. Tell us a bit about how George's Car Media came about.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for the invite. I really do appreciate it. And it's always so crazy hearing the numbers come from someone else, especially in that introduction. But in short, to those listening, I run a social page called GCM, or George's Car Media. And it kind of came about really from not only a love in making videos, but also understanding that there was a bit of a disconnect between the police and the public. I was also always questioning my friends as to if they knew the law on certain topics, and I could never really get an answer. And if there was an answer, it was put on the internet in a way that I just couldn't understand. So when Owen knocked on my door and gave me the opportunity to go down this niche, or the rabbit hole of road safety, if you like.
Just remind us, who's Owen?
So Owen is a casualty and reduction sergeant with the Devon and Cornwall Police. And I'd spent a few years making videos, and he had then seen them and then approached me with the idea of maybe going down the road of road safety and trying to get through to our audience.
From your perspective then, what role does motoring media play in shaping attitudes towards safer driving and responsible behaviour on the roads?
Honestly, I think any form of influence on the internet, whether it be the TV or on social media, is going to have a lasting impression on the viewer. And I always use Top Gear as my example, is that the stuff like that was so popular and so iconic for us growing up that it would have been, frankly, odd had you not picked up some habits from watching it. And that same thing translates to modern social media creators. You know, you have that level of authority, and because your viewers tune in, you do need to realize the importance of understanding that as an influencer, as cringe as the term is that you are influencing what your audience do. And of course, if you show bad behavior, then it might normalize that bad behavior to your audience. So we always made sure from the get-go that we showed the right way to do it, so we can almost be the sensible bigger brother, if you like.
You produce content that's engaging and often performance oriented. So how do you strike the right balance between showcasing driving skill and reinforcing those messages of road safety?
That's a really good question. So I think it's worth premising that Owen and I very much believe that skill is not, well, no, put it this way. So skill should never be framed as just speed alone. And I think often the viewers get confused, is that if you drive fast, that isn't demonstrating skill. There's a lot more to it than that. Our message that we tend to go with is race the track, not the road. And I'm sure you can agree that there is very much a time and a place. Really, you shouldn't be demonstrating your skill of driving fast on a built-up road with lots of vulnerable people around you. So I do think it's important that you know where you can put that kind of driving on the road, if you like. But at the same time, you know, what I would deem skill is, and what I think is important to show, is that someone like Owen is extremely experienced at driving, and his skill isn't demonstrated by driving really fast and weaving around traffic. His skill is demonstrated in a lot more ways. And I think that's why I said earlier that it's important to be the bigger brother, if you like, and be a good influence, because we can then show our audience that, in fact, skill can be so much more than just driving fast dangerously in an area where you really shouldn't be doing that.
What sort of feedback do you get from the viewers about safety, especially when perhaps you're featuring high performance vehicles or challenging conditions?
Good question. I think initially people were a little bit surprised to see that police and me relationship on the internet, and they didn't really know how to take it. But we've kind of carved out our audience now, and I think people are just really happy to have clear, concise information on the internet. Like I said, this was all started by me not having the answers that I needed. And because we've gone down the route of not being patronizing, not being condescending, We really try and level with the people watching so that as a result, the information just seeps in a little bit more efficiently than if we were just saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's so important to be relatable when trying to get education across, because we can all remember that time at school. You no doubtably had a favorite teacher and then maybe teachers that you didn't like. And that's the way that I look at it, is it's important. Road safety is so important for young people. Obviously, it's important for everyone. But if you're going to get through to them, you know, the distracted generation, if you like, it's important to come down to their level. And I think that's really what has been so important for us. But the feedback's been good. And it's nice to have people stop us and, you know, thank us for making this kind of content and getting through to their children.
So what sort of responsibility do you feel that you have to steer the culture towards safer driving behaviours?
Anyone with influence does have a massive amount of responsibility, and sometimes it seems that they don't always realise the importance of that. And I think when you have an audience or a following, I keep using the term bigger brother, is that they look up to you. So if you then drive dangerously and you incentivise bad behaviour, then it's completely normal to assume that these young, impressionable people are going to follow suit. So with so many of those people being on the internet and the TV shows, it's then important for us to show the other side of the fence, which is actually skill is more than driving too fast. But at the same time, we know that there's so much more to car culture and to driving than effectively being reckless. And it took me losing my license to learn that lesson properly. And that was a massively important part of my journey. But no, it's a great question, because I do think it's a very serious thing when you have people looking up to you. So you need to be careful with what you upload to the internet.
And following on from that, then, have you noticed any shifts in how drivers think about safety, speed or responsibility on the road over recent years from the interactions you've had with your followers and your fans?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely noticed shifts. But I just think now there's more awareness, because there are ultimately more people talking about these things. We all get told what to do and what not to do when we learn to drive. But I think it's important to mention that mobile phones in particular are becoming such a problem. And everyone, no matter what the age group, is glued to their phone 24/7. And I'm sure you can agree that it only takes going out on the road just for a couple of minutes and you can see multiple drivers using their phones in different ways. And that's only because there's not a police officer in their rearview mirror that they think they can get away with it. Yeah, I just think that it's something that's worth mentioning, because distractions are a real risk. But, you know, it just increases error, doesn't it, ultimately, when people are focusing on something that they shouldn't be.
You mentioned a moment or two ago about losing your license, because for many people that would create big barriers and resentment and very negative long-term attitudes towards authority and policing, but not for you. Just talk us through that. Reflect on that for us.
I think it's important to take accountability and responsibility for mistakes. And every adult listening to this has ultimately made mistakes in the past. And I think what really determines you as a person is how you learn from those things. And because they were SP30s, so I was only doing, for example, 38 in a 30 here and there, or 40 in a 30. They were never crazy, crazy speeding offences. I never took them seriously when the letter came through the post. It was always, well, you've got 3 points, or here's a speed awareness course. And it almost went in one ear and out the other. But it took getting that letter saying, well, actually, now they've added up to this many points. You now need to come to court and you could lose your license. That's what it took for me to really realize the importance of that. Because, of course, you've now got all this freedom with your car. You can see your friends and family. You can run a business, go to work. And all of a sudden, the judge says, well, you're a fit young lad. We're going to take your license away for 6 months. And then you're sat there without your car, asking your friends for lifts and asking your parents to drive you around. And that's not fun. So I think now, you know, when it comes to these speed limits, you take them more seriously, because you know the implications of what happens if you don't. But also, having lost friends to whether it be dangerous driving, drink and drug driving, over the years, it just further hammers in the importance of the rules. They're there for a reason. There is data to show that, you know, going over the speed limit, checking your mobile phone while driving, driving drunk, these things all increase accidents. And I guess for me, it took actually having something like that happen to me before I took it seriously.
Let's talk about technology, because that has come on so much in recent years and continues to advance. How do you think content creators like you can help communicate not only the benefits, but the limits of the sort of technologies that are available to everyday drivers?
I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because I, for one, learned to drive in a car that I think the most exciting technology in it was maybe the fact that it had a CD player. And, you know, you learned to drive without any of these aids. So you didn't have hill start. You didn't have a reversing camera. You very unlikely had sensors. And then now, for example, my younger brother is learning to drive in a car with a reversing camera and hill start and automatic handbrake and these things that just make driving easier. Now, on that point, if you're reliant on things like this, I would argue you're not as good of a driver as maybe someone that learned to drive a car authentically without all of these aids. Now, I think it's worth premising that these aids can be beneficial, but you shouldn't rely on them. The same way that a sat nav is fantastic, but wouldn't it be better to be able to read a map and then have a sat nav as an added bonus? So I think, you know, driver assistance tech is fantastic, but maybe there's some importance in online social media people, if you like, focusing on this kind of thing and, you know, enlightening the audiences to the stuff that's available, but also, you know, highlighting the point that I just made, that it's important not to rely on this kind of thing. I'd be interested to hear your take on it, to be honest.
Oh, that's a hard one. That's not fair, George. But I tell you what, it takes me back to my driving test, which was in January 1982. I'd had about four tests cancelled because it was a really snowy winter. And on the morning that the test actually happened, I had an hour with the instructor before the test. And he said, I'd better just show you how to do cadence braking, where you sort of bang the brake, the foot brake, and lots of times, you know, bang, 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 bang. And that will help you keep control if you skid. Along came the test. It's half an hour later. Emergency stop happens. I put the brake on straight away and feel myself skidding. So I go bang, 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 bang. And I don't know if that was the reason that I don't think I got any minors either, actually, that day. I must have been on form. We're very lucky. But that doesn't answer your question. What does maybe answer your question is, I think if there could be more opportunity for people to just get familiar with tech in, you know, low risk settings, like, I don't know, empty car parks or just so they sort of understand something and therefore be confident in or competent in using it, understanding what it can and can't do for them. Maybe that rather than just a sort of blind faith or blanket rejection of what it can do. That's my take. I hope you'll take that.
Well, on that, there are places you can go, aren't there? I mean, we've done a lot of stuff on the channel where, with our message, race the track, not the roads, we've gone and done a lot of track driving to try and learn the uniqueties, if you like, with driving a car fast but in a safe environment. You know, you can go to wet weather places. For example, we were at Horobamira in Nuneaton the other day testing cold weather tires and the advantage of switching them over. But we were in a safe environment where you're able to actually see hands-on, firsthand, why these things are so important. And I understand that there's a lot of safety advice that you can't really understand on the road, because how often can you do an emergency stop if you wanted to practice? Probably not, unless you were maybe on your driving test or doing a driving lesson. But same goes with parking. There's always so many people around. It can often be a daunting time to do it. And maybe you want that empty car park, but then you're told you're not allowed to be in the car park. And there's just so many difficulties in doing it. So there definitely are places you can go, but practice is always best.
Project Edward's all about kind of sharing good practice, replicating it. If it works here, it can work over there. And so talk us through a campaign you're perhaps most proud of.
So in the lifespan of George's Car Media and my collaboration with the police, we've done quite a few different things. But one that I really like to reflect on is actually a recent drink drive project that we did. So every single December or every Christmas time, if you like, the police like to put out a lot of messaging on the importance of not taking that risk and driving your car after the celebrations. And we were thinking, how can we get through to the audience without doing the age old, you shouldn't drink and drive, because ultimately everyone knows that they shouldn't, but they still do. So we took advantage of a tiny little camera called the DJI Nano, which is a POV camera, and it can clip onto your cap or your forehead. And we reenacted the entire scene from let's go out for drinks with our friends all the way till the point of you've been locked up for drink driving and here's the implications of. We did it scene by scene, starting from the pub, going home, and then we really focused in on the morning after, because everyone knows you shouldn't drink and drive, but not many people realize the importance of not drinking, or at least not driving the following morning. So we did this campaign, we edited it together, made it nice and snappy, and it completely surprised us with how positive the results were. Not only the comments and the feedback, but people were messaging us saying that it's taken this video to make me realize just how dangerous this is and what could happen if. Because like I say, we know you shouldn't drink and drive, but getting it through and that unique messaging with the POV angle really allows the viewer to watch it and feel like they were partaking in that experience. And then, you know, so for example, in the video itself, I got drove into, and that was the only reason that I got breathalyzed, is because someone drove into me, and then the police officer breathalyzed me, and of course I was over the limit the following morning. So the implications of losing your license, potentially losing your job, losing your partner because you can no longer pay the bills. It was just a campaign, if you like, that was done differently. And it's something that I think that we can really tap into. That POV angle really allowed the viewer to sit back and feel like they were the one making the mistake. And that's something that, as a team, GCM are very proud of.
Following on from that then, George, do you think independent creators like you can sometimes connect with audiences more effectively than, let's say, official road safety campaigns? And if so, why?
No, it's an interesting question. I would say yes. I just think that modern social media creators can sometimes be a little bit more relatable and as a result might get listened to more. Traditionally, I would say that road safety campaigns, you know, you might see on the TV, for example, the Stop, Look, Listen, Live advert that I'm sure everyone remembers with the hedgehogs. But then there's also slightly more modern stuff than that as well. But what I can say on our side is that, you know, we've had months where we've had 30 to 40 million people tune in every month. And that is on a topic which is arguably quite a boring topic. So to be able to take that topic and make it engaging is something that we're very proud of. Now, it is worth me saying that I say sometimes road safety can be boring. It shouldn't be, because there's room to make any topic on planet Earth interesting. It's just how you go about doing it. So for us, coming down to their level, you know, being more relatable, trying to find out who the audience is, and as a result, adjusting how we speak to them. You know, I would speak to my grandmother very differently to that of maybe a 25-year-old at the gym, or maybe that of a first-time driver that had just passed their driving test. So it's so important to know who your audience are and to make those adjustments accordingly.
What one change in behavior would you most like to see among drivers that might really help the safe system work to the best it can in practice?
Good question. I think I'm going to sound a bit like a broken record here. I just think that mobile phones are one of the biggest issues at the moment. Everyone knows how to drive, but they don't necessarily understand the implications of being distracted. And when I say mobile phones, it's not necessarily the action of having your phone in front of you that is the distraction. It's all of the stuff that comes with it. It's the mental attachment to wanting to check your notifications. It's the multiple times you might get a phone call while you're driving. It's the possibility of watching videos while you drive, which is crazy that people could do that, or listening to music, or being engrossed in a potentially long phone call. Worse still, if you were involved in a stressful emotional phone call, maybe you're having a conversation with your partner and as a result, it's taken your focus away from what you should be looking at. I'm a big fan of the way that the roads are going. You know, there's a lot of flashing signs that remind you of speed limits. There's a lot of overhead. There's a lot of things that ultimately remind you that, you know, this is happening here and that's happening here. And I'm a really big fan of that. But like I said, if you're distracted and you're elsewhere and your mind is elsewhere, then you're just going to make it worse for yourself. So if I could change one thing, it would be have more people realize the importance of just putting your phone on the seats behind you. Maybe have your phone in the boot. Ideally, have it connected to Apple CarPlay. So if you are going to utilize that technology, do it in the safest way possible.
George Chester Master from George's Car Media, thank you so much for joining us on the Project Edward podcast to share your role in the SAFE system, which I'm confident we will be finding out a lot more about. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to collaborate because what you're doing is fantastic. So good luck to you and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.